We're hurrying the service along just a little bit here as a grace to the ladies. There's flu season going around and things of that sort. They're going to have a meeting afterwards, and I intend to cut this service short so that they can have the meeting a little more quickly. All right. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. A couple weeks ago, when I was in this pulpit, I started the series on faith. Ashley put a note up here reminding me to record it, so I turned the recorder on, brought it up here, and never pushed the final button. Got done, I tried to save it. It's saying 0 minutes. I mean, what? All right. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to be in verse 1 again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, Father, help us to understand faith. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I turn to that because I want you to understand that faith is something. Okay? But there's a common definition of faith in the English language, which is a valid definition, but it's not the Bible definition. Okay. For example, Jesus Christ. Well, that's a curse word in America. That's right. That's a valid definition, okay? There's carpenters, and when they hit their hand, they say Jesus Christ. They're not calling on the God of Israel. They're not trying to get saved or anything of that sort. It's a valid definition, but it's not the Bible definition of Jesus Christ, okay? God, okay? If you ask the Mormons who is God, they have a totally different definition than we do of what God is. So when it comes to faith, what is the Bible definition of what faith is? Well, the first thing is it's a substance. It is something, okay? And it's evidence. 2 weeks ago, we had Neil go and put himself in the room in there, and we made sure he couldn't get out. I had Trevor on the outside looking at the windows. He didn't escape there. People were standing there. They knew he didn't get out. You folks believe he's in there. Well, yeah, they did, okay? But that wasn't faith. You believe he'll come out again? Yeah, but that wasn't faith. To be faith, there has to be a substance to it. There's got to be something behind it, okay? And it has to be evidence of things not seen. Now, Doubting Thomas was told, well, you've seen because, you know, you believe because you see. But blessed are those that haven't seen, and yet they believe. There's that point where Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? More sure than when he stood on the mount and watched Jesus Christ shining white, more whiter than any fuller could make them. Fullers were the people who used to take, and they used to use bluing agents out of the sea, because what's blue do with yellow on something makes it whiter, okay? So they used to call them fullers, and you had Fuller's Earth. Some people remember when the Fuller Brushmen would go around and sell things and such. But the thing is, a fuller makes things just as white as it ever could be. That was what his job was. And Jesus Christ stood there whiter than any fuller could make them. And then lo and behold, Moses and Elijah are talking with him. And Peter saw this. And he says, but we have a more sure word of testimony. Something surer than that. So the thing is, when we're talking about faith, we're not just talking about a hyperbelief. I might say, Joshua, I need you to take this to your mother. I have faith in you. You know, I really will get to his mother. Is that 100% faith? No, I've raised boys. All right? And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, he meant it, what he said. You know, I'll give this to her. But, you know, things happen. And, you know, and such. So when I say I have faith in him, it's a compliment, and it's fairly accurate, but it's not what Bible faith. Our culture is replete with things, you know, if you just believe, you know, tap your shoes together three times, say there's no place like home, and suddenly Dorothy's home again, all right? And, you know, and so it's replete with that kind of thing, and Tinkerbell with pixie dust, and, well, I do believe this and such, and fairy tales are made of that kind of thing, but that's not what Christianity is. There's a substance to Christianity, and there's an evidence to it, okay? The substance in that evidence is a thing called faith. And it's not something you can drum up. Okay? If you could, we'd have some people in here who would have had a lot of faith, but you can't drum it up. Faith is an interaction between you and God based upon your repentance. Okay? When God sees a repentant sinner, he gives them faith. That faith will cause them to believe. Okay? That's what's going to happen. And it's going to be a belief that's different than other people's beliefs. Yes. I have believed in things before that turned out not to be true. Okay? And yet later on it turned out it wasn't true. Okay? Did you believe it with all your heart? And to be honest with you, I didn't have a reason to doubt it. Turned out later it just wasn't true. Okay? Many persons accepted the excuse from a person who betrayed them, and they believed them. And then the person betrayed them later, and you say, well, did you believe it? Yeah, well, that didn't make it true, did it? So the thing is, getting people to believe on Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful idea. I'm all for it. But the way to Jesus Christ is the cross.
Amen.
The way to Jesus Christ is him being crucified because he became what you are. The way to Jesus Christ is a messy execution of a man for your sin. And you understanding that, and then him giving you his faith. Now, I wanted you to see this. First of all, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 30. We're going to see that faith is a measurable thing. He's speaking here to the people who followed him out. The people who left their jobs, left their homes, left sure food, left all that kind of thing, and followed him out and sat there on the side of the hill with him. And he says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So the thing is, you say, well, these are people who followed him out to the wilderness. These are people who, you know, it wasn't an easy thing in those days to go out there and follow some guy, listen to the side. And yet he said they had little faith. He didn't say they had no faith. He said they had little faith. So the point is this. Faith is something that's measurable, that can shrink and it can grow. It can do both of those things. The Bible says that. But it's something real. Now, what's he saying? Well, talking about a person who has faith that God can look at a flower and say, gosh, what a beautiful array that flower is. He can do that to me. He can clothe me, and I don't have to worry about it myself. And many a person's taken off for the mission field. Many a person has stepped into the unknown. Many a person has taken that road. Rarely traveled and not worried about these other things, convinced that God can take care of it all. Many a person has done that because God gave them that faith. He increased their faith and they were able to do it. Okay? Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 8. And we'll look at verse 10. When Jesus heard it, Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So here's someone who has a greater faith than any of the people he has observed so far in Israel. Okay? So faith is a measurable thing that can grow. What was it that the man had the faith in? Well, if you remember, it's the Roman soldier who asked him to come heal his daughter. Or to heal his daughter. And he said, I'll go. And they said, you don't even need to go. You don't need to do that. So I have many servants. And I tell one, go here, and he does it. And I tell another one, go there, and he does it. You just command. And Jesus said, I haven't found this kind of a faith even in Israel. Now, how did that Roman soldier know that? Is he better than other people? He certainly didn't have more than because God put that grace into his heart. God gave him that ability to believe above and beyond what others have. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that's a God-given thing. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 3. Apostle Paul says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Why did that Roman soldier, why was he able to say something that no one in Israel could? Because God dealt to him that measure of faith. Okay? God dealt it to him. And by that deal, he was able to do what he did. Now the point is this. If God wanted Joshua to go to a group of people who hate the gospel and everything else, many a young missionary has started out to do that kind of thing, but they didn't do it by faith. Okay? And as a result, they fell in, they dashed themselves upon the rocks, they didn't make it. When times got hard, they weren't sure that God would make it. Why does another missionary make it in those circumstances? Okay? Because God dealt to them that measure of faith. They went there by faith. Both of them did the exact same work. Okay? One of them felt all screwed up inside himself during a presentation somewhere, and lightly gave himself over, and yeah, I'll do it. And he's bound up in this thing, and he goes out there, and it's not what he expected. If you've noticed, the evangelicals now have made their mission fields to be like big summer camps. They have. You go over there to their mission fields, and there's cooks and bakers and this person and that and everything else, and they go there and they live in compounds and sing kumbaya and have s'mores around the campfire and that. Each one does their little thing. And that, why? Because very few people can go out and really just live by faith anymore. They can go out there with a measure of faith that God has given them and live by that. So most of them, I know when I lived in Europe, it's one of those things that everybody, they had their compounds, and I'm talking 40 years ago, right? And I remember thinking to myself, this is like summer camp for these people. It's like having it's like having summer camp all your life, but you do it in another country, and it's exotic, and it's wonderful and such. And I'm not saying there's some sacrifice in that, but it was more of an institution, okay? And if God were to send Joshua to do that, he would have to give him that faith, that one-on-one. There would have to be a substance to that. And then there would have to be evidence in that substance that, yes, when everyone has turned on me and everyone has gone, that God is still with me. I would have to have that. And I would have to know that. And that's the only thing that gets people through dark times. Okay? Why did Pastor Haynes stay in one place for 40 years and he could name to you, if we stood here now and I had him tell 1 minute stories about all the men he's watched crash and burn in Western Pennsylvania and Western New York, we don't have enough time left in this service, okay? Why? Because when everything turned awful, and things do turn awful, things turn terrible in life. Things come to the point where you can't even begin. You'll wonder if God hates you, okay? Why do you stay? Because God dealt to you a measure of faith. He dealt it to you. And you have that measure of faith and you work on it. And without faith, the work is worthless. It wouldn't matter if you built the Taj Mahal as a church. Okay? Without faith, it doesn't mean anything to God. And with faith, it means everything to him. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 3. We'll go to verse 9. "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Okay? Did he tell them, you need to perfect that which you lack in faith? He said, no, we need to come there and do that. Okay? This is how God gives that measure of faith. We need to come to you and we need to do this. Why? Because everybody has different amounts of faith. It says God dealt it to them. It says God dealt. What's the minimum amount of faith necessary? Okay? Salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if he has dealt to you that minimum, there are two things that you will know for sure. Why? Because we have in that same spirit of faith, Paul says. What is that spirit of faith? I believe, therefore have I spoken. He's quoting Jesus Christ from Psalm 116 when Jesus Christ is dead and the pains of hell are about him. You know what he said? Different than any other person in hell. He said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Anybody here thinks they have that kind of faith if you went to hell? Hey, don't worry about it. I'm here in hell, but I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Jesus did. Okay? You know what Paul says? We have that same spirit of faith. Did you drum that up? No. As a repentant, broken sinner, he gave that to you. Okay? He gave that to you. Had you been unwilling, he'd have never given it to you. Okay? But as a repentant, broken sinner, he gave it to you. The second thing is his spirit then gives you the earnest of the faith. He gives you something real. He gives you a spirit to know that there is a resurrection. He gives you a spirit to know that you do have a new body. He gives you a spirit to know that. So the thing is, there's the two minimums that faith does, that every single Christian has. One, he knows that Jesus Christ resurrected. He knows that. Because the spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ now dwells in him. It's the spirit of faith. Paul said that. See, in your Bible, a spirit is never just an idea. A spirit is never just, you know, a whim or, you know, kind of the feeling of an age or something. A spirit is always a substance, a real thing. The prophet Micaiah, he looked into heaven, he saw these spirits, he saw them. They were real things there, okay? You see spirits when they're there. Jesus Christ said, does the spirit have flesh and bone as you see me? No, it doesn't. But he didn't say, well, if you see me, I can't be a spirit. He didn't say that, okay? Spirits always are a tangible thing. And if you have faith, you have that spirit of faith, that same one that Jesus, it says that, 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says that. But that's like a baby, okay? We can have a baby born, and there's that baby, and you know what? It's got the same soul, just like its mama does. It's got a spirit like its mama does. It's got a brain like its mama does. It's got hands like its mama does, feet like it, but it doesn't know how to do anything. All those abilities have to grow. So the thing is, that's what faith is. Faith is a new baby born into someone who has repented and received Jesus Christ. He has put that in there. If you feed that right, that faith will grow. But it grows as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What does he want him to be? Okay. Mike Falk and I have been talking about this idea of the vocation wherewith you're called. Is that just the vocation of preaching? No, it's any vocation, okay? What is it that you're supposed to be doing? What is it that God wants you to do with your life? What is it that God, when he saw you and you were in your mother's womb and he brought you forth from your mother's womb and had you raised, what was it he pictured you doing? And that's that vocation he wants you to do, okay? And the thing is, you have to grow into that and learn into that and develop into that. And if you don't feed that new baby, that new faith, it doesn't grow, okay? It doesn't go anywhere. Pastor Hayne tells the story of getting saved at 15 years old, but then he had no church. And so for a couple of years, it didn't grow. He's out there in a truck cursing and carrying on and such. When he finds the right church and God gets him in there, they all thought he got saved. He said, no, I didn't get saved. I was saved a couple of years ago. Oh, no, you got to say it. No, I didn't. I was saved a couple years ago, okay? But what happened there? God finally got him somewhere where faith could grow again. His faith could increase. That which was lacking could be given to him and brought into him and perfected in him. So when we talk about this thing of faith, we're not talking about you drumming up some kind of, you know, deep belief or whatever else. Man, I can't tell you how many deep beliefs I've had that have been shattered. Okay? But I've never had my faith shattered because it's in Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to wrap this up pretty quick. Go to 1 Corinthians 12:9. We'll go to 7 just to get a little bit of context here. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now the thing is, manifestation means something made visible. Okay? Manifestation. The truck comes into Surefire, it'll have a manifest. It'll show what's on that truck. It makes it visible for a person to hold that and not even have to look in the truck and he can tell what's on there. They call it a manifest. Okay? So the thing is, the manifestation of the Spirit, how do you make the Spirit visible? It's given to every man to profit with all. So that one man has it, every man gets one to profit everybody. Now look at verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. Well, I thought everybody had faith. You mean there's people who have no knowledge? You mean there's people who have no wisdom? No. What it's talking about, everybody has a measure of wisdom. I've met complete fools that have a measure of wisdom in some things. Okay? I've met some stupid people have knowledge in some things. Okay? But yet God came to these people as a gift, gave them more knowledge. As a gift, gave them wisdom above and beyond. And then as a gift, gave them faith. What is that? That's God giving the measure of faith. Faith isn't something you drum up. Okay? Faith is something you have to be in the way. You know what your job is? It's like Abraham's servant. Abraham told his servant, "Servant, I want you to go into this land. I want you to go there. And here's what I want you to do. And I want you to find a bride for my son." He goes exactly to the land he was told to. He goes exactly where he said. He does his own prayer. Okay, which is fine. But then later on, he says, "I being in the way." What do you mean being in the way? I was exactly where I was told to be. I being in the way. This is the way God told me, and I was exactly there. And you know what happened then? God did the rest. What if he hadn't been in the way? Wouldn't have done very good, would it? Wouldn't have done one very good. So it's not like we're standing there saying, "Well, you're just floating like a jellyfish, and wherever the waves take you, you throw up." No, there's two types of fish in the sea. There's some that swim against the current, and there's some that can only go where the current goes, okay? God told you to swim. God told you to be in a place. God told you to take care. And then God gives you that measure of faith. You have to exercise that faith and work it, and then when God wants greater deeds done, then he'll do it. You know, if suddenly I were to walk up to Dale and give him $40,000 and say, "Dale, here's something to work with right now. I don't want you to spend on your family. I just want you to invest it somewhere." Would you go to somebody that's broke and not a penny anywhere and say, "Where'd you invest this?" I think you'd probably go to somebody successful, all right, that really knows how to invest and do that kind of thing. And you know what? If you want, you know why? Because he's doing something with it. So you know what? When God wants something done, you go to the person that's been exercising faith. You go to the person that the little bit of faith they were given, that talent they worked with that, and they did something with it. And then when God wants to give another measure of faith, that's the person you give that to, okay? Give it to that person. They're working that measure of faith. They're doing something with it. One of my favorite stories come out of the Civil War comes out of one of my favorite generals, a man I would have shot if I'd been in the Civil War, but I still love Stonewall Jackson. And but I would have. I'd have shot him dead. And he was a good enough general. He'd have had me killed first. But the point is, at one point, he needed to cross a river in West Virginia. And in order to attack what they called Commissary Banks, his name was General Banks, but they stole so much goods from him, they called him Commissary. But the thing is, they wanted to cross this river, And the river is kind of swollen. He doesn't know how to get it. So he calls his engineers together and he says, look, we need to cross this river. And they said, well, it's a tough river to cross. But, you know, they took some soil samples and things. They all went in their tent. They're arguing and such. And meanwhile, some buck private standing there, and he's in charge of a cannon. He's got to get it across the river. So he fells a tree, puts it across the river. And, you know, his buddy crosses that tree. That slow river gets over there, fells a tree on the other. They got two of them. So a couple of them together, they get there, and they get that cannon across on those couple of trees. Somebody said they get some saw some knobs off the tree and such. Next thing you know, somebody comes along with a caisson, one of those wagons or whatever. They get that thing across. Next thing you know, somebody got some planks on that thing, and they got some horses across. Next thing you know, the army's on the other side. Stonewall Jackson got up in the morning, and his entire army's on the other side. There's some buck private standing there. He said, young man, he said, did you build this bridge? He says, yes, sir. This is probably going to be. He says, where are the engineers? They're still in their tents making plans. All right? You do with what you have. That measure of faith that God has given you. Exercise it. Work it. Okay? Work what you do have. And you know what? If God sees you work that, just maybe he'll give you a measure of faith to step above and beyond even that. Okay? Just maybe he'll do that. All right. Pastor Hayne, would you close us in prayer?
Father,